space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life, a new civilization, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome to Retrek. I'm Captain Jim. With me, of course, are Admiral Elliot.
Hi there.
And Dr. Squee.
Sausages, I mean Dragon.
Ah, very good. Yeah. And, this week we're back. Sorry we had a break last week. I had a poorly car, needed fixing. As we were just discussing off air, it's always days when you're doing something is the only time they can fit you in for an appointment. So there we go.
Yeah, we were a minute late because I was just back from taking Willow to the vets for her annual checkup.
Well, all I'm off to say is I had my annual checkup yesterday and I managed not to interfere with anything.
There we go. It's because she'd got it on a Tuesday. That's why.
I mentioned my life correctly.
It's like, you know, they wouldn't ask a priest to do an assignment on a Sunday. They should know what we do and give us concessions for it. But anyway,
okay, to address Jody's comment, your 4 minutes late. I was 1 minute late and then we were catching up, which was the other three.
One minute late is what we're going for. Maybe your clocks are wrong. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here to talk about the penultimate two episodes. Does that work? Yeah,
something you raised earlier, Jim, on the chat. Just not Trek news, really, but Trek anniversary.
Trekiversary. 7 years ago today, Discovery was first broadcast in the UK. I say broadcast, it was on Netflix. So we did get it a day later. So I suppose technically yesterday was the actual anniversary date, but for the UK, it was 7 years ago today that we first got Discovery, the Vulcan Hello, and whatever the second
worst pilot episode title ever. Every time I hear it, it's just like the first title should be like, oh, Encounter at Farpoint. Okay, not the best episode, but sounds cool. Emissary. Oh, what's that about? The Caretaker. The Vulcan Hello. Fuck off.
I think The Caretaker is a title works lower. It sounds like that's a Liam Neeson movie.
Oh, it does.
That's made in the last 5 years or something.
Yeah.
That no one's seen.
It's enigmatic, though. The Vulcan hello just sounds ridiculous. Like, Vulcans don't go, hello. It just doesn't sound right to me.
Well, it's explained in the context of the episode, but anyway.
But I mean, the title should welcome you in, is my point. Like,
it should. It's saying hello. What else do you want? That's welcoming. But now I'm thinking about the Liam Neeson movie, The Caretaker. I'm thinking he's a caretaker at a school.
Oh, a school.
A school caretaker, and of course he's like ex-SAS or something like that, but he's hiding low.
Yeah, because he's American, isn't
he? Well, he can be in some films. Obviously, terrorists need to take over the school for some reason, and only the caretaker can stop them.
I've got a pitch.
We should write that down. Liam Neeson would do that.
Okay, my alternate
pitch. Liam Neeson hasn't, just no one's seen it.
My alternate pitch of what he's done, and this was based on like Elliot going, it's like effectively this is a straight to video kind of job. I'm picturing him in a care home. He is the caretaker in a care home. It's a load of old folks, and he has to like save someone who's been kidnapped, perhaps one of their granddaughters or grandsons or something. Probably granddaughter, because then you make it in an inappropriate romance between him and someone who's half his age, because he's old enough to be in the care home, and he's buddied up with one of the old folks who keeps on forgetting what they're doing.
I want to make a couple of tweaks. Just
okay.
Turns out one of the old people in the old folks' home is a Nazi war criminal, and the neo-Nazis are coming to like bust him out to be their new leader, and that's where it all starts kicking off.
brilliant. Like, right, let's write this.
That's two films we've got for Liam Neeson now. That's Caretaker 1 and Caretaker 2. Yeah. Anyway, what we're actually here to talk about is the episodes Brink and Touch of Grey, which is not Shades of Grey. So don't worry, we're not covering that one yet. And these are the last two episodes of Prodigy before the two-part season finale.
It's our penultimate episode of this season. Let's keep stressing this season.
Yes.
Let's really stress, it's really, really important. If you haven't watched it already, watch it. If you have watched it already, watch it again. Because Indeed. The more views it gets, the more chance we've got of getting a new season of Prodigy.
I've done my bit by falling asleep while watching it late at night several times.
That works. It still counts.
And I've also, I've been waiting to bring this up. At the end of the first episode, there is something which I'll bring up which links this to Picard, second series.
Ooh,
which okay. It's something I told you guys, but I've not seen anywhere else online. So I'm the only one who I've seen has picked up. I'm sure some others must have, but.
No, this could be a retrek scoop.
Excellent. We've got the retrek news banner to go.
We want retrek scoop. We need a new banner.
We need a new one. We don't have them often. That's why we've not got a banner for it.
In the meantime, we'll just put it as retrek news.
Okay. Well, I'll wait until the end of the talk about the first episode.
So the episode starts months ago. But this is all right. This is not one of them silly 12 hours earlier podcasts. The podcast I'm going to talk about. I'm doing a Keir Starmer saying the wrong word. There isn't one of them silly 12 hour earlier flashbacks. It's actually a decent flashback that fills out a bit of what we saw last episode, that they'd kidnapped Wesley. So now we find out how that actually happened.
Yeah, I also love that they used the star date and then it morphed into... Months earlier, I had
no problem with this flashback.
No, I didn't. You know,
compared to the 12-hour earlier, so last week or a few days ago, and then you get the episode starts into it. No, this was showing you a relevant bit of information we needed.
Yep,
that had happened months ago, and obviously, because Wesley's timey-wimey, it has happened months ago.
Yeah, yeah, and also it's like the this is just the correct usage of that tool.
Yeah,
it is overused in the wrong way. We don't mind when it's used correctly.
That's the thing. Yeah. The reason I wanted to draw attention to it is I don't want people thinking I hate all flashbacks. I don't. I just hate the silly ones.
But a flashback did kill your father.
What?
No, it's an old movie trope. It's like
why
you don't want you to, everyone to think that you hate flashbacks, but a flashback did kill your father. It's a whole
That's why I have a deep-seated hatred of them. Anyway, so we find out how Wesley got captured, which fills in all the gaps as to how Asensia's been building these time bubbles and all the rest of it. And when we go back to the present, then they're heading to Solum, and there's the whole, Prime Directive, what are we going to do? And this leads to very much like a Mission Impossible sort of situation, that they go, okay, the cadets can go in, but we will disavow all knowledge if you're captured.
I'm not being funny, the song, it's very ropey ground, especially with what they have to do to Michelle as well, that the Protostar crew, who all season we've seen are now cadets with Starfleet, are okay to go on the mission because they're not strictly Starfleet yet. But Majel has to resign as being a cadet to be able to go on the mission to help his Starfleet.
But weirdly, what they say is she's resigned from Nova Squadron. Yes. So it's like, well, you're still in Starfleet. You're just not in the special...
My assumption was her... Like, Nova Squadron is a special designation within the Academy. Yeah. Like, I saw... Because I tripped up on that line as well. I was like, well, why has she said that as opposed to resign from Starfleet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the inference is... because we've had Nova Squadron, Red Squadron, like we've had so many different permutations of this, and they always seem to have their own separate, like in the in Deep Space Nine, they like had their own ship, and you know,
Red Squad did,
So I'm thinking it's a separate designation, so she had to go through that extra step, is what they're saying. Whereas the rest of them, they could just say, well, they were cadets, we can just say they left the academy. There isn't the same kind of involvement as there is in Starfleet.
Nova Squadron is more affiliated to proper Starfleet.
And also, you've got, I mean, it's sort of headcanon, but I think that's what they're trying to play.
Yeah,
and also the fact you've got, amongst the cadets, you've got Gwen, who is from the planet.
Your cadets could be looked at as being temps, you haven't been taken on full time yet. But you know the squadron, you have been taken on full time. So you have to go back to being a temp.
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll go with that.
And then you can say that they quit to follow Gwen, who is from the planet, and it sort of all works as an alibi then. Because they kind of wait that they were cadets, but they can say that they left with their friend, you know.
It's very sneaky, Janeway, let's exploit our child labour and make them into spies.
And they're not affiliated to Starfleet, but they're going to go on our top-end prototype vessel.
When they left the ship. You see, again, it's like, I mean, I still want to applaud the writers. There are so many elements in this series which they balance beautifully, and they always find a good reason. I've said this before, they always find a good reason why it's okay for the cadets to be going out on their own, because or even before they were cadets, why it was okay for them to be on their own on the ship. And like, there's always a justification that works. And I think they've done it again. Like, again, you have to sort of like work out that Red Squadron leader thing. But yeah, apart from that.
Yes. So we'll accept that you're allowed to do covert missions as long as you pretend you don't work for Starfleet. It's fine. And we'll disavow you and let the locals murder you, even though you're children.
Like, this, what I'm about to say is going to get paid off later, but not for 1 minute did I believe that Janeway, if they got captured, would not go try and rescue them, that she'd just leave them on the
Very own. True.
I love this. Like, this version of Janeway just gives no fucks. She will go rogue at the drop of a hat. Unless someone suggests, hey, you know, if you go rogue, we'll be with you. It's like, no, I'm going to follow orders. What, the one time when we offered to back you? You're going to go rogue? Now you don't want to do it?
Yeah.
And I think it's just to fuck people off. I think she's just had, she's like, fuck it. I'm Admiral Janeway. What the fuck are you going
to
do?
It's very out of character for her to say that I will not come and try help you.
She's lying.
She
just will.
Of course she's lying. Yeah. But we do a little bit of sort of Chekhov's gun. Not Chekhov, the Star Trek character. I'm talking about the literary trope, Chekhov's gun. But we set up this idea. We've only got one site-to-site transporter.
No, we can only use it once.
So we're setting that up, and obviously that's going to pay up. So basically, we can't beam everyone up all at once, is what we're saying here.
No, what they're saying is that they can only beam everyone up all at once. They can't. One of them can't go, and then the others follow up. They've all got to beam up together.
Right, so they could have used it for as many people as they wanted.
They've got a site-to-site transporter, but because of all the timey-wimey stuff that's going on the planet, they can only penetrate them shields once to do a transport, so they've all got to go at the same time.
Either way, it sets up this idea that this is going to come into play at some point in the episode. Yeah.
But that's how it works. They could all beam off together.
Yeah.
No problem if they all were in a position where they could beam off together. Or two of them could beam off together if that's what it came down to. But the rest would be stuck men.
Which is what it might do, but we'll get there. So when they get down to the planet, they're sneaking around in like this sort of cloaked bubble thing.
Now, I've got a problem with this because this goes against the Aconian Accords.
Well, they're on Rogue. They've gone Rogue. They don't have.
Yeah, to that's true. True.
Mind okay. you, my problem was actually speaking the same bit of tech. I almost forgot. So thank you. I do love it. I think it's just a lovely bit of business. So much this crew, especially when you've got just Jenkins just walking too fast, going, you know, perfect. But
and you've got Dal knock something to the side of it, and then you've got Rock going, I'm sorry, it's cramped, but I didn't know we were going to have Magellan with us as well.
Yeah.
My only slight issue with it is in Star Trek Insurrection, they had suits which did this.
They did.
So, well, yeah. I mean, so you have to sort of ignore that technology. It's a very minor quibble, but it's sort of like, I guess you could say that Rock wasn't familiar with that, so she made one.
And look, something existed. We've been ignoring the atmosphere belts from the animated series for nearly 50 years, so we can selectively ignore bits of technology when we need to.
But it's perfect for this crew. This is exactly. They shouldn't have a blanket that's got to go over everyone just for the inconvenience.
It's very what is it? Is it Harry Potter where he has the invisibility?
Yeah, the invisibility cloak. Yeah. It is very much that, yeah. And then I'd forgotten completely that there would be a present version of Essencia. So I think it's quite cool when present Essencia comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, and it even gives you the sort of like jeopardy. And I only realised this watching it today. Didn't realise the first time. That there is a way in which you could write it that Essencia, who's come from evil Essencia, we'll just call her evil Essencia, could have got raised by the Wraiths from Doctor Who, or Langoliers, we said they were going to be
the Langoliers.
If, if she was raised by the Langoliers, you could have the good ones still surviving because they're from different time.
You ages. Could, yes.
So it's kind of like I like the fact that also is out there as a possibility.
It makes sense that Langoliers would want to attack future Essencia.
Yeah.
Because she's in an anomaly in time.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
absolutely. So
it's adding nice little kind of twists you can do on this.
It's clever little twists. And like you see that they go at her, and it makes sense that they go for her, that they hunt her out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the diviner's getting sent to prison, and this creates the dilemma of, well, do we save the diviner or do we save Wesley?
Or do we save everyone?
Well, that's the decision Gwyn makes, isn't it? Which is carrying on this arc of Gwyn becoming more of the leader, and that she decides that, they're going to save everyone, even though it risks splitting the team.
Oh, and it's just a bit where Del kind of like, he goes like, oh, are you sure about this? She goes, well, you said I was in charge. And he pauses for just a second, then the hugest grin on his face when he goes, yep, she's in charge. Let's do it. Like, there's no pride. There's no bullshit. You see that character development, because earlier him would have had that pride there. He feels he has to be the captain.
But if it had been Chakotay doing that, he'd have pushed back on it as But he also has that thing that, no, he really likes Gwen and he respects Gwen. And he respects decisions. But if this had been anyone else but Gwen who was making the call, he wouldn't have done the big grin and gone, that's all right then. I think he would.
The only thing I would say is that I think the way they've arced it is that Chakotay actually taught him this. He taught him to be able to see past his own pride. And he's a better crew member for not needing to be the captain. I think he's going to realise he's a better pilot than he is a captain. He's kind of better at that kind of stuff. And
I'm going with that. Yeah, I think this is more of Dal learning a bit of humility.
It is good character development. Don't get me wrong, it's good character development and it fits in with what we've seen. It's just, I think it's automatic that he wouldn't have the problem of accepting what Gwen says compared to other people, because he does fancy
it's
certainly easier.
Well, we know that, yeah.
It's certainly easier coming from a friend, but I love that idea that Chakotay just taught him to be a bit better. Like, this version of Chakotay, and I know you guys might have had a few issues with Chakotay in the past, but this version of Chakotay, the way they've written him, again, it's wonderful writing by the Prodigy writers. I think they plotted it so well.
Sure, you're wrong.
Jodie, what's that? Chakotay rules, and I want to sleep with him. Sorry, that's just implied, that second bit.
Well, I mean, this Chakotay comes as close to ruling as Chakotay, I think, has ever done.
I think that's fair. We may have criticised Chakotay occasionally in the past.
Occasionally.
Maybe there was one time.
But I am willing to admit that this season of Prodigy has made him a much better character.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, Belcher, yeah, on the other hand, we won't even start.
No. So this means we get to have a train, not a train heist, but a train rescue, which is as good as a train heist. Yeah. Which, you know, that's always good, especially sci-fi train things, because you get to have cool future trains.
Now, these are cool future trains because they're almost flying through magnetic wings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, it leads to Zero being able to do like a puppet show with a guard, like a Weekend at Bernie's style thing, which...
Well, he's in the other team, isn't he?
That's the Wesley team. Which they also managed to find Wesley. And this is where we find out that Wesley planned all of this to try and get them to the better timeline. So that's kind of his Doctor Strange giving Thanos the time stone moment, I suppose.
Yeah. It's like,
because again, I love...
Sorry if I've ruined that trend. If we're ruining it. If no one's seen Avengers...
Spoilers.
Please mute us for the next couple of minutes.
I think we're good for Avengers. I think Avengers Infinity War and Endgame are open season now, I think.
But I like the fact they did this thing as well of like, it looked like kind of like at the beginning of the episode where you see the flashback and you see him, he outsmarts the guards and managed to kind of get them on their asses, but then doesn't think of the thing shooting them from behind. And I was thinking when I first watched this, like, oh, that's a bit dumb. Like, if he can see the future and he can see everything, why can't he see that? And then when you see this, he did, like, good. And I like it when they sort of wrong foot you a little bit just for
a
great reveal. I like being kind of surprised and
thinking
that then they've not plotted out correctly just to prove they have. It's great. I love that.
Yeah, I did like that. Like, obviously, the crew do pull off both rescues really brilliantly.
Yeah. But it worries Wesley because they've split the crew, and this is where he now doesn't know what's going to happen.
Is that, like, I like where he's going, where's the purple one? You know, the one that never agrees with you.
and this, my friends, is the moment. I don't know why. It was like, I think it was the second time I watched this, but like at the time, it was the fact that there was a line which Wesley says in Picard, and he goes like, I have to be so careful with what I say because I thought, you know, last time I misspoke, it nearly ended a universe. He says, I can't be vague, basically, he says in that line. Here he says, you need to stick together, and he doesn't explicitly say, as in physically together, not as in as a team in general. And I think this is what they refer to. It's such a nice pitch and release, kind of this, you know, these two. I just happened to watch a, like, a two of them around the same time, but yeah, it's totally there. I think
you've got a good point.
I think, in
Picard season two, he mentioned he hadn't been specific and nearly ended the universe.
Yeah, and it also explains why you've got the kind of more mercurial, wild version of basically Doctor Who Wesley here, and you've got the more staid, he seems a bit more organized, a bit more like, you know, he talks about the other travelers, he seems to be acting like them in Picard. I think it's because after this he kind of grew up, and because he even says, like, even I don't realize why I'm doing some things sometimes.
Yeah
But I think it's because he's, in relative terms as a traveler, fairly inexperienced by their standards. By the time we see him in Picard, I think he's learned to, well, there are cons, you can't just be chaotic like this. You have to follow the rules if you're going to be a traveler.
That's, That's a really
clever spot. I think you're right.
Because Picard season two obviously came out several years ago, so you think of it in the past. But it's actually the future from what we're seeing here.
For Wesley. Yeah, I mean,
even with the way they treat Wesley. I won't foreshadow stuff to come, but there's other things which Wesley does which fits so nicely into Picard, which is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think you're on
to something. I think you've got a scoop there.
That was your retrek scoop. But Dal's team's got caught, and Ascensia, I keep writing her name down wrong, now knows that the Diviner is going to be the one to defeat her. And this is where we bring in the transporter, and they make the decision to beam up Wesley and the Diviner rather than the crew themselves.
I did like, though, that was done between Gwen and Dal without saying a word.
Yeah.
Without saying a word, she just looks at him and goes, do it.
Yeah.
And he knows what's doing. He uses his stupid hair that can move and stuff to pull it out of his back and throws it at Wesley to catch.
Yeah.
But she doesn't say what to do to put it, but them two are in tune together.
But they have a really lovely kind of, she does have a really kind of cool sounding line of like, when you know what to do, it's time to just do it. You know, it's like, it's not that, you know what I mean? It's like, there's a cool sounding line, which just is really nice.
And Wesley winds up on the bridge saying he doesn't know what happens next. And that's where we leave this episode. So before we start the next episode, Jodie says, can we give a shout out to our kids, Nathan, Adam and Henry, and tell them to watch Prodigy? Yes, they must watch Prodigy.
Nathan, Adam, Henry, and every other kid and every other adult ever born in the world, ever, watch Prodigy.
Watch Prodigy. We do want more Prodigy.
And she didn't mention them, but Meg, if you're watching as well,
anyone else, and all, get your own Netflix accounts. So, because I'm sure that'll help the algorithms as well. Because they don't just want to see one user watching it over and over again.
They want to see
new subscriptions, especially to watch Prodigy.
So, Jodie, get each of your kids their own account.
Yeah. Well, make them get it themselves and go from there.
Meg's girlfriend as well. Like, all of them. Just everyone.
Indeed. So, there we go. We will monitor how many... Well, Netflix will monitor how many people sign up to Netflix, especially to watch Prodigy. Oh, wow. So the more people that do, the better. Happy Comic Book Day. Is it Comic Book Day?
Nice woman chat and recheck. Good evening from the UK. Happy Comic Book Day. We're in the UK as well, so...
We are in the UK, but is it Comic Book Day? Anyway, if it is...
Hi, Rose, and welcome.
We will go get comic books. So the next episode is Touch of Grey, which, as I say, is distinct from Shades of Grey, not least because it's not crap. So,
to be fair, that is a fair description of Shades of Grey.
And they do something here, which it made me think of an episode of Quantum Leap, actually, because they show a scene, but they show the lead into it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Which in Quantum Leap, it was always the leap was always seen when Sam leapt in. But there was one where he leapt into a vampire, I think it was.
Oh, I remember that one.
At the end of the episode, you saw him in the imaging chamber, and you see the fangs and everything on the person he's leapt into. Whereas, because Al was talking to Ruth Westheimer, which was the previous person Sam had leapt into, so it ended with Al talking to Ruth, and then when there was the leap, you saw Sam's body changing into the next person, and then at the beginning of the next episode, you saw him leaping in into this coffin, as it turns out to be. So, like that didn't use it, but anyway, just this kind of reminded me of that because you don't
use.
Star Trek, if there's a part two, you usually see the recap from what we saw before, whereas
the same perspective,
I like playing with that a bit.
This one, even though this is technically a moments earlier flashback, I'm all right with this one because it doesn't outstay its welcome. you don't realize what it's doing at first. So you get that nice moment where you go, oh. And so, yeah, I'm happy with this. It's Janeway and Chakotay having a bit of a chat. Yeah. And
And Janeway says more than I think, even like we've seen in this timeline. Obviously, Chakotay and her have a little bit of a frisson going on. But she goes, it's like, oh, with you back, it makes me want to go back to the farm in, where was it, Iowa? Or,
no,
no,
oh,
Iowa.
I, yeah.
Well, yeah, she's trying to get away from him.
I didn't think that was the implication myself. But I
it, like, I took it that he had drove her to want to retire. Now he's
that's
back.
It, yeah, he's like... he's like, oh, I might retire as well. No, no, no. You've been out of it 10 years. You need to get your own command and maybe go somewhere into deep space.
I've been having an absolute blast without you. I've had these awesome ships I've been able to play on, and now you're back on board. I'm off to retire.
Yeah, that's
I'm going to let you have your Chakotay bashing, but that was clearly them going to smash town on the farm.
Yes, of course it was.
Clearly was.
But then... to cheer her up, he goes, oh, by the way, it's the anniversary of the launch of Voyager. Yeah, because that was a big success, Chakotay. She lost it. You know, that's not necessarily a high point of a career to remind her of.
Actually, I will pull you on that.
Oh, sorry.
Jane Wade never lost Voyager. She always knew where Voyager was.
That's true, yes.
Yes, Project.
It was just Starfleet didn't know where.
Yeah,
it
she
was.
Just lost the Alpha Quadrant. Yeah,
but she gave the family.
She knew where the Alpha Quadrant was as well.
Okay, but my point is, it's maybe not the high point. It's like
I don't know because they always celebrate.
Like no, okay.
Especially when it gets to late seasons, to celebrate is the journey. They become this big family and all that. Voyager is a major part. She learned how to defeat the Borg. On behalf of the entire Federation.
Okay. So let's say the captain of the Titanic had left.
I happen to really like Voyager.
And 20 years later, the captain of the Titanic's feeling a little bit down. And his mate goes, oh, by the way, it's the anniversary of the launch of that ship that sank that you were the captain of.
I think but it's that's a better that's metaphor, a very different... You get
That is not a fair comparison.
No, it's
not. The Titanic sank and killed most of the people on it.
And I'm not laughing at that, by the way.
Unless you had money and then you were allowed to use a lifeboat.
I'm only laughing because I know Jim was just kind of chumming the water a little bit for a laugh.
I was. I mean, I just don't think Chakotay is the best at tact, is all. I don't think he always says the best thing.
I think he got it right on this one.
Okay, I will let him off then, yes.
It sounds like Janeway wouldn't mind letting him off either. Hey-o!
You're wrong, Jordy.
The anniversary of Janeway and Chakotay.
It isn't. Voyager launched and she was hunting Chakotay.
Yeah, they don't meet until a couple of days later, I suppose.
Yeah, they have to go to DS9 first and pick up crew and all
basically,
sorts.
Basically, come on, I'll give Jodie that one. She put basically right. That gives you a couple of days leeway.
Anyway, we catch up with where we left off the last episode and Wesley's lost his powers now. Or at least for a while. He has to recharge his powers.
The doctor does say that if it had been anyone else, you'd be dead and all.
Yeah, they're kind of on...
Unique, you'll get better.
They're kind of on a cool-down. Yeah. They're on a cool-down like in video games where you use your ultimate ability. You have to wait for the meter to fill back up before you can
we talk about it again while we're there? Because they put in a Star Trek trope I didn't even realize was a trope until this moment. And it's the whole thing of like, it's basically goes back to McCoy of like, I know that the doctor in Voyager and now Prodigy always does the I'm a doctor, not a, but he also does the I better go with you. You might need a doctor, which was what McCoy said.
Yeah, McCoy did do that.
And I think you had Bashir doing a little bit as well. I think this is a trope which like has been kind of falling under the radar. It doesn't get as much praise as the Redcoats, but it's
no,
right
you're right. It is there. Yeah, oh, you're going to need a doctor for this one. I better, yeah.
Yeah.
We will make note of that whenever we come across it going forward.
Yeah.
And we will make a website. anyway, maybe not. Anyway, Wesley's not doing so good. And then Asensi is basically calling out Janeway now. 29 days to go for Lower Decks, says Rose. Is that right? Is that all it is?
It is right. And I'm very excited for Lower Decks.
Definitely.
I'm not as excited to have to renew my subscription to Paramount Plus to watch on, because it's an awful streaming service. But I can't wait to watch more Lower Decks.
Although, very nice that 29 days means we get to do a couple of something else then, strange.
Yeah, we do.
In fact, because we have no clear plan for a couple of weeks after next week, I think on the Retrek Air Facebook page, if people have suggestions of an episode they'd like to hear us do,
yeah,
we can put that into consideration.
Yeah, let us know.
It saves us having to think of an idea.
It does. The only ones that are completely off the table, obviously, are ones we've already covered, and Spirit Folk and Fairhaven. They are off the table because we have plans for them.
I thought you were going to list every episode we've ever covered. It's like the only ones which are off are. Shit, we've only got that.
Not
much.
Quite.
This is episode 252. I can't remember.
We have covered a fair few. Anyway, it's not just the Doctor. All the big names are going on the away team. It's one of them where it's like, right, we're doing a Kirk. We're taking down all the main cast members for this one.
Well, of course you do.
Yes, exactly. And Gwyn's having a bit of a crisis as well.
And we're leaving the guy who was in Hamilton, who's the first officer.
Yeah.
We're leaving him there to babysit the Tribble, which is just lovely. I love that. And then he kind of gives a little smile, like he's like, yeah, sorry, I'm into this.
Yeah, exactly. And Gwyn's feeling a bit down. And see, this is better sort of counselling. They say, well, no, you know, you still rescued Wesley and the Diviner, which has helped the overall situation. Yeah. So.
And you got him off the planet, so he's away from Essentia. So him stopping it is still open.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the Doctor, I love this chat the Doctor and Hollow Janeway have.
It's just so cool.
Now, doesn't that look like they're getting it on?
It does. There's definitely a bit of a spark there. It's
all
really good.
Same ways of getting laid here, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense as well that Hollow Janeway would be really impressed by Hollow Doctor, because Hollow Doctor has the hard air-like drive.
Also, it's very easy to assume that
Red Drop
Janeway
is
going to like Hollow Janeway is going to be like Janeway. Like, you know, it's down to like they take so much of the personality, but their lived experiences, as well as the bits you don't end up taking.
Yeah, exactly.
You could program every fact you know about me, but it wouldn't necessarily translate if you put it into hologram as me.
Well,
unless
it's that
you did a brain scan. You know,
it's that like, thing if you did an identical clone, including brain scans.
Yeah.
Everything identical, and then put them in two separate, completely separate situations. Within several years, they'd be very different people.
Very true, but I get the feeling also it's like, and again, where they're coming from, like she knows she's a hologram that changes her people
and
everything.
It does.
It's Hollow, just really clever writing, I think.
Hollow Janeway's a fan of the Doctor's work, which is cool, and obviously that butters the Doctor up better than anything else. Then we get on the actual mission, and there's this really good bit where you've got Wesley. And he's actually getting to fly a ship again, and he's sort of but re-engaging with things that he did when he was a human. And
yeah, because he also gets a line where it's like, sugar, I forgot, because I go through portals and stuff, like I forgot about quads. You've got to work those out, haven't you?
this is where he talks about Beverly as well. So we've had a scene with Beverly asking about Wesley, and now we've got a scene with Wesley asking about Beverly. And
isn't it Janeway brings it up. And then he goes like so sheepishly. I love this. He's so sheepish. He goes, oh, how is she? And she goes, well, why don't you ask her yourself? Oh, that's like a Janeway smackdown. Again, don't fuck with Admiral Janeway. She does not give a fuck, I'm telling you.
It's true.
Yeah, she's telling you how it is.
But then Ascensia, as we sort of alluded to earlier on, does lock them in almost like an arena with a langolier.
Yeah, and she's managed to capture a langolier.
Yeah.
She's got a dog collar on it. A fancy dog collar, but it is a collar. Mm.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. Yeah, sorry.
No, that's... And it's, you know, we've seen sort of how dangerous they are and everything. So it is a good, setup.
I don't know, was it, I don't know which one of them it was that went, what are we doing? And they just go, stay alive. It's like there's no plan to what we do next. It's,
I mean, we know that shooting them with a ship's phasers gets the job done, but when it's in a much more confined situation with no ship's phasers, there's a definite danger going on. So,
I mean, and it's somewhat about now that Wesley says that line that I don't even sometimes know why I do.
Yeah.
So it's like, it made me think, it's like, so I wonder if that implies that even though he doesn't know what's going to happen next, if part of his brain has plotted out a solution, like, you know, they're like, if this was part of his plan, but even he doesn't know, you know, it's like there's so many layers you could go down.
Yeah, right? Or it could be a case of if he sees something playing out, but it doesn't necessarily make sense to him, so he might look at something and go, well, I obviously do that and that's what I'm supposed to do, but I can't imagine why I wanted to do that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's all, I know I must do, but I don't get it. But there is, he sort of does have a bit of a crisis, and Janeway gives him a pep talk, which is really cool, where she's talking about, well, hang on, you were a Starfleet officer and you were a good Starfleet officer.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's tap into that. You don't have to have all the powers to be useful, kind of thing.
And it's just, I mean, they're just so good at throwing in like these little lessons and these little moments. Like, oh, something we didn't say, like, is it the end of the last episode? Or is it, there's like the shot with the two ships together? Or is that the end of the second episode?
The shot with the two, that was last week when we had the shot of the two.
Yeah, there's
ships.
Another one here. Like,
it's at the start.
All right, yeah.
We have. Do we have one at the start of the episode?
I think we do a few times. There. There's
this lovely shot where they're about to go into like the action of it, and I think it might be the end of this episode, but they're just lovely shot. It's just, there's so many moments like that in these. There's so many classic moments. There's so many you know, like, again, you know, it's like you don't have to be a time god to save the day. You can just be a person who kind of does things the right way, and it's just one of those moments. It's I just really think Prodigy gets the essence of what Star Trek is. And
it absolutely does. And Rose says, have we thought of doing Lower Decks Season 1 to 4? Well, we already covered them,
there's a playlist on our YouTube channel you can watch.
There's a playlist on the YouTube channel. There's the podcast feed. We've covered every episode.
We do Lower Decks, obviously. Rose is new to us, so thank you for joining us, Rose. Hey,
thanks for giving us an excuse to do a plug. Always appreciated.
Yeah.
But when we do Lower Decks, we take the episode, we watch it, and then we pick from all the Easter eggs another episode that links into review at the same time. So they're really good fun how we do it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to Lower Decks.
There's scattered episodes from... the golden and silver ages of Star Trek, if you will, the current age, the, like, all the new Trek that's happened in the last so many years, we've covered them all as they've happened. And then we're dipping back into original series,
TNG, everything else,
and Enterprise.
TAS.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The animators. Those picks are the ones which we haven't covered everything from. Everything more new, we've covered it as it's gone. So that's the pool you're picking from, is those six.
Ascensia kills Janeway. That was the whole plan, was to get Janeway off the ship and kill her. But it's the Doctor pretending to be Janeway.
Now, don't you love when he's being shot and he's lying on the floor and he's going, can't maintain pulmonary action.
Yeah.
Breath's getting shorter.
Oh, why? Falling. The end. Close.
The end. Darkness. Nothing.
why haven't they thought to do this with the Doctor more often? Like, this is such a good idea. Good point.
It's just so brilliant because he's using, like, he obviously isn't used to acting like other real people that he knows.
Yeah.
But it does, like, we've seen him do amateur dramatics and stuff and all that. So he's using his amateur dramatics and his writing skills on board with acting like he's Janeway, so you get this really hammy death.
Yeah.
It reminded me very much of something that you'd see in the theatre with sort of like Shakespeare and all that.
And it's hard baked into his character because with Lewis Zimmerman, they showed that he got his ego and his inability to step outside of himself to go. It's like, not everyone would know about pulmonary system or talk like that.
Yeah.
Not everyone would be going, it's like when he swapped bodies with Seven of Nine, he's going, it's like, well, that Doctor is a bloody genius, isn't he? You know, it's like he can't get over his ego. As well.
And meanwhile, they manage to free the Langolier, which leads to the escape and ultimately leads to the Diviner inciting a rebellion. And it kind of brings back feelings of when Legate Damar began the rebellion in DS9.
And can we also throw in, I just love the fact that even though they, as we mentioned before, they allow all the characters to not be confined to. So because Rock's big doesn't mean she has to be security. She can be like what she wants.
Science.
You're not confined to what you look like. You know, it's like that's a really great message. But I do like the fact, though, that when given the opportunity here to smash through a wall, she's like, I got this shit. You know?
That's really good.
She does it because she wants to, not because she has to. That's a nice distinction made here, I think.
Yeah, just because you're an engineer doesn't mean you can't knock a wall down if you need to.
Yeah, it's like, it's when Nog goes and does something very Ferengi. He goes like, hell, I'm still Ferengi just because I'm an engineer.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't mean I can't make it.
And I like the sort of the note that they add to this, that even though from our like perspective viewing it, we're like, oh great, the Diviner's starting the rebellion, that's good, the rebellion against the evil person, but Gwyn's like sad about it because it's like after everything we did, they still ended up with a civil war anyway. And I just like the note they put on that it's not totally triumphant and there is a tragedy to it, that perhaps civil war on, I've forgotten the name of the planet again, Solum. Perhaps it was unavoidable. So I really enjoy how they just add that note to it. They don't dwell on it, but
it's a fixed part of the time continuum that there's a civil war.
It just
we also have to hope that from this civil war, because we start the civil war and they say the Diviner wins it, does he go on and do what happened afterwards?
That's it. You know, it just adds a touch of poignancy to it, which I think just makes it that bit richer.
And it's also a very nice way of having it, so it's like you've wrapped up a lot of the plot here without wrapping it all up. So you've got enough to put into the two-parter, whereas with the two-parter, you've also got to resolve the plot line with the Protostar. So you've got enough plot to keep going with whilst leaving room for the other plot you've got. Where it's going to end up, where all your characters are going to end after.
Like, it's very clever because we have a two-part season finale, which is what you'd expect to tie everything up. But this is actually a four-part season finale they've done. Yeah. And they've been really clever doing that.
It has
separate names, but it's literally going on. It's all about...
It's become totally serialized at this point. Yeah.
I actually double checked because when I saw these two episodes were different names, I was like, surely this is a two-parter because basically it is. It's just
It is. And it's like we've been really lucky how this season has actually fallen with us doing two episodes a week. That every time we've had, even when it's not called a two-parter, but obviously is, that they've fallen together, that we can cover them at the same time.
Am I remembering correct? Like previously, the way they released it was one half, second half, or was it week?
That's how they did season one.
That's how we did season one.
10 and then 10 again. I wonder if
the original idea with this one was to change that, because a lot of series have changed from doing big drops of like either half series or whole series to doing weekly. I wonder if this was meant to be released in couplets because the two it feels like you're saying, Elliot, it does feel like every two episodes is a story into itself.
And that's how they used to do Saturday morning cartoons as well. They'd have like an action hour and they'd often do two episodes back to back. So maybe they were aiming for something like that. Who knows?
It reads like that. It might just be the way it's...
But it does finish on this brilliant sort of triumphant note where they all agree to help and they have Starfleet United will overcome. It's Prodigy does this so well, where you just get these great punch the air Star Trek moments, which is just a great way to lead us into the end game of the season.
I think that goes on to it being aimed at made for a younger audience. I won't say aimed at a younger audience because it's aimed actually at all age audience. It's aimed at families, but none of us have families. We watch it and enjoy
it. It's a family show, so anyone can enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, I think it's actually been marketed wrong because when we were at Destination Trek, the amount of people who said they hadn't watched it because it's marketed as a kids show. And it's like, no, it's not. It's bloody amazing Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a series for that. For being aimed at everyone. I kind of miss Star Trek being aimed at everyone.
I think it should have been marketed as more as aimed for everyone as opposed to how it was marketed, aimed for young kids to watch with the family. There is a distinction between them two things.
Yeah, it should be sort of getting that Doctor Who market
You see, for me, because like Lower Decks is something in itself that was always aimed at the adult market.
That's an adult
that should be what it is. But every other series, like Discovery and Strange New Worlds, I don't think you actually have to change anything profoundly about the kind of structure and the plots to make them family shows. And that, to me, is where Star Trek should live. I think they get lured away too much to appeal to the people who grew up with it who are now adults. Whereas, like, over the years, so many young people have got into Star Trek and that keeps it going. Yeah. I think you do need more of this, more family oriented to Star Trek. Because who doesn't want to watch it with their, any young people in their lives? Anyone in your life you can introduce to it.
But my point is that it's marketed wrong, that it's marketed as being a kids' show.
Well, it's barely marketed at all, which is one of the problems.
The parents can watch with them. Whereas it should have been marketed. That is accessible for anybody.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up these episodes then. We will be back. Go on.
So just one more thing. Just when we were saying about like where they wrap it up and they've got the lovely Star Trek moment. I mean, did you guys, and I know, again, we were talking about Chakotay and how he's better written here. The bit where Murph leaps into his arm and they have a hug. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that got me. I know about you guys, but I just had to shout out that little moment.
I like Murph.
Yeah.
And I think CBS marketing need a serious word with them. Why haven't I got loads of Murph toys yet?
I mean, look,
between you and me, if Murph jumped into the arms of Hitler, I might go like punch the air for a moment before going, no, that's bad. Mm. Like, because Murph's so cute, he would distract you from the evil because he's so nice. We love Murph.
We do love mirth. Yeah, Rose is asking when we'll be back, which we're about to go through with you. So we will be back next week.
We're in our marketing department. We love you.
You're great. I know. Yeah. We will be back next week, Wednesday, 6 o'clock, all being well. And we'll be covering the finale of Prodigy.
And please come join us on the Facebook group.
Rose. Come and join us on the Facebook group.
Just search Retrek Podcast on Facebook. And come join us.
Yeah.
And we advertise all of the every week on there when it'll be.
Yeah, on Twitter, we're at RetrekPod, we're RetrekPod@gmail.com. As Elliot said, you can find us on Facebook, all the socials, including Retrek Model Studios on YouTube.
And surprise, surprise, I've actually put two videos out.
I know you have.
Making progress on this TOS phaser. It Excellent. Almost looks like the TOS phaser from the series now.
And Dr. Squee, what have we got going on with the Dr. Squee show?
Fuck all this week, if I'm honest. Between meeting up with these beautiful reprobates and many others at Nerd Night this weekend, big shout out to Madam Misfit and Adam Washington. And I've started rehearsals for my play, which I'm going to be in later on in the month. So it might get a little bit patchy here and there with the Dr. Squee show, but I will try to bring you some new episodes over next month.
And if not, there's all the back catalogue on there as well.
Go to youtube.com/ Dr. Squee and you can catch up on all the old episodes. Thank you.
And I'm sure the next week will go fast for everyone.
And in honor of Discovery's anniversary,
let's fly. Hang on, we've got a let's fly. There it is. Let's fly. Oh,
let's
we got
fly and go fast, Trigon.
We've got
and thanks for trekking with us this time. We will see you next time on the Retrek.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Drag off.